Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles Podcast with Dave and Chris, and we're going to go back to a series that we started a long time ago, actually about a year ago, and I think we only had one entry, so we're going to now make it an actual series here, and it's our series called Beatle Friends.
And who was that? Klaus Voormann?
Yeah, Klaus Voormann was our first one, so we were, the criteria was people who were close to the Beatles or played with them in a substantial way or confidants, things like that. And so we started with Klaus because, of course, he was huge in the Beatles story. And today we thought we'd pick a fun one because you and I think we've been fond of this person for a long time for his looks, I think, particularly, right?
Yes.
Yes. And so he is Hamish Stewart.
Yeah, we get this idea because I was looking for some decorations here in this back room that I record in, Dave. We're experimenting with some video stuff and some things like that. So I was like, oh, you know what would be cool is that Paul McCartney band poster that is inside of the Flowers in the Dirt world tour package. The special edition world tour package that had the CD. It also had the tiny little CD for Party Party. We'll talk about that.
Do you remember what those were called? They were like you said earlier when we were talking before the show, like 45s, but CDs. Did they have a name? Were they were CD singles or no?
I think it was like a CD. Well, the thing is, there was a CD single, but most of those were regular size.
Right, the mini CDs.
This was like a mini little thing.
Yeah,
some CD players had a little circle in the middle of the circle. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why did they need to replicate 45s on CD? Right. I have no idea.
Yeah,
because it like probably cost like more to make the smaller.
No doubt.
Thing. But anyway, the Paul McCartney band, which was the band that recorded Flowers in the Dirt, is portrayed on this poster. And one of the stems of the band, of course, is Wicks.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Still with Paul today.
Paul today. We're going to have a mega blowout Wicks episode someday. Of course, Robbie McIntosh is on this poster.
Yep.
But of course, we also have Hamish Stewart.
Yeah.
Guitar, bass, vocals, it says at the bottom. And you can trace Hamish Stewart's career to some extent on this poster. We'll get into his pre-Paul McCartney band and his post-Paul McCartney band career.
Yeah. And I think for most of our listeners and for us, we identify Hamish Stewart with that 89 McCartney band when he came back on tour for the first time since Wings Over America. Well, since Wings, we could say late 70s, but for the first real world tour that he'd had in many, many years. And of course, Hamish was a big part of that. He would play on the 89 and the 93 tours. So he was pretty involved in those periods. And I think of him with the group studio albums too, with Flowers in the Dirt and Off the Ground. So,
and of course we can't leave out Paul McCartney Unplugged, which
is a
huge moment, I think, for Hamish, which I'm sure we'll discuss as well.
Yeah. So he's really identified with that particular period in Paul's bands. And I know there's a lot of arguments. Maybe we'll do a podcast someday. We haven't really done it in full. We've hinted sometimes, but what was Paul McCartney's best band? And
I
think that would be an interesting one to talk about. It's the one that my first Paul McCartney concert was December 4th, 1989, with my mother at the Rosemont Horizon. And which is no longer called that. But it's that was the first McCartney show, and this was the band. And I think they were very good, and it was a good group, and Hamish was a big part of that.
Yeah, a very distinctive guy, Hamish.
Yes, and, in his looks
he's
and
got
voice,
a huge face.
Yeah,
and he's got red hair, and then later sort of reddish white hair.
Yep.
About the time he was in the McCartney band, reddish white sort of light sort of thin hair. But some of the older stuff, you see him with a big red beard and
yeah, yeah.
like that. So.
Right.
So pretty so, good.
So he was born in October 8th, 1949 in Glasgow. So he's Scottish. Mm-hmm. And kind of got his start there playing in some bands at that time. I think there was a band called The Dream Police, which you probably have some info about.
Early 1967, a band called The In Crowd. And it said Glasgow lads inspired by the Beatles and U.S. soul stars.
Okay.
And then Scots of St. James followed that late 67. Soul vocal harmony, later called Hopscotch.
Hopscotch.
And then 68 and 70, soul pop flower power group called The Dream Police, with Hamish Stewart, Matt Irving, Joe Breen, and Charlie Smith. And then there was another band, which they don't even list what years this was, but I would assume it's just 1970, probably, called Berserk Crocodiles.
Berserk Crocodiles. Name. That's wow. That didn't catch on. That's hard to believe. I don't know.
No. And a guy from Squeeze was in that. And so, you know, he was in these little bands, didn't go well. But one sort of common thread throughout everything I said there was soul.
Yes. Yes. So that's where we would really get to know him best, as in a soul band, and a very interesting one at that. So in 1972, he was invited in June 72 to join the recently formed Average White Band, the AWB. And I have to say, going to do the research on Hamish's early career and the Average White Band, I thought, I don't think I could name any other songs. I'm sure our listeners are probably saying, "You idiot! I can't believe you don't know these songs." But then I, you know, put in a few YouTube searches. And then it's like, oh, yeah, I know these songs. I know. And it's like,
well,
wow.
Everyone, I think, on Earth knows one Average White Band song, even if they don't know that they know this song, Dave.
Yes. And that would be Pick Up the Pieces.
That's right. Or the one that goes, da 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 da
da da da da. A great instrumental track. It is instrumental, isn't it? It's a...
Yeah. Well, they say Pick Up the Pieces.
They just say the title.
Toward the end.
Yeah. But they had another, the first video I watched was another one of their big hits. And later we'll discuss that Hamish actually played with another Beatle on a couple tours. And he sang this song, and you can watch it on YouTube. Cut the Cake is another one. And that was, the video was on Soul Train, which, if you're American, you probably know that was a series for all sorts of black music, particularly soul music, and you didn't usually see white bands on it. And so that's quite a credit that they were invited to play.
And then I love their song Work to Do, which has also been done by other groups, including the Isley Brothers, but great song. And I like it. He's like, I got a work to do. I got a gig.
It's a great lyric.
Yeah.
So lots of hits. And so he was with them for 10 years. And
one thing that you probably don't know so much if you're just exposed to him through the Paul McCartney band is how much of a lead vocalist he could be in Average White Band. And also, I was listening to the sort of greatest hits of Average White Band, and he does his falsetto a lot in Average White Band, where he's singing like very high kind of falsetto. What do you think? This is the one question that came up with me, and I wanted to bring it up here. Is his voice distinctive enough? Like, I listened to a bunch of him.
Yeah.
And I think he has a wonderfully beautiful voice. But it's not really, it doesn't really stand out, you know?
Yeah. When we talk about Unplugged, you can see there's some video of the song that he sang in the show. They do two takes of it. And I still, it isn't very distinctive. It's a good voice. It's blue-eyed soul, I guess, or kind of the white soul type sound, but yeah, it doesn't stand out. It's not like a McCartney voice or someone that you can just totally, Lennon or somebody you can tell right away.
So, well, maybe what I was thinking too is maybe because of Average White Band, and there was another pretty much lead vocalist.
Yeah,
I think Arnie McIntyre.
Yeah, there was a there were two singers.
There was another guy, Alan Gorey, mm-hmm. who also sang. By the way, they very odd thing, and on the poster you see they had a Robbie McIntosh playing drums, who died in 1974 of an overdose. Obviously different than the Robbie McIntosh in this band. So very strange that he would be in two different bands with two different Robbie McIntoshes.
What a coincidence. Wow. Yeah.
So with the multiple vocals in Average White Band, perhaps developing his strength, not just as a singer, a versatile singer,
yeah.
who could sing lead, sing the harmonies, but also you played bass and guitar.
Right. I think probably the, he's kind of a versatile guy. He can do a lot of things. And I think that certainly comes into play when he's with McCartney, because whenever Paul would play guitar, then he would play bass or vice versa. A little bit like Denny Lane would. I think he's better than Denny Lane in his voice, but I think it's the same kind of versatility that whatever the song calls for, he can do.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think it's fun, interesting that in between the time when Average White Band would break up, which I guess would be around 1982.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've got.
The time when he joins up with McCartney, most of the stuff he did is in the world of soul, played with Chaka Khan famously in a couple of things, played with David Sanborn on he actually sings the lead on Love and Happiness. If you're a big David Sanborn fan, what do you think of David Sanborn?
Dude? Not a big fan of smooth jazz and not a big fan, but yeah, look at all these, just his resume here. You mentioned those two. You've also got Aretha Franklin, Smokey Robinson, Jeffrey Osborne, George Benson, Diana Ross. So like all these major soul crossover jazzy singers.
Wrote the Atlantic Star 1986 hit, If Your Heart Isn't In It.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like a lot of that, and a couple other people like Kenny Loggins, Melissa Manchester, people like that. But didn't seem to be out of work very often.
No, he was writing songs too, which is something that he didn't really get to do a whole lot with Paul, but you could see he did write some songs. And then so then all of a sudden we get to 19 well, yeah go ahead
Well, don't forget Easy Pieces, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
Did you check out the Easy Pieces album link that I sent you?
I did take a look at that, yes.
Yeah. This is, even on the poster here, it says Easy Pieces, 1987, recorded an album for A&M, but the band was put on ice when Paul's gig came up. Mm-hmm. It's like a cold, like, hey, Paul wants me, so
I'm out of here.
but it had a Rene Geyer, who he'd work with in the Chaka Khan era. He had toured a little bit with Chaka Khan, and by the way, I like Chaka Khan a lot.
I like that song.
Her solo stuff is pretty great. Yeah. So if you haven't, and her work with Rufus, if you haven't heard the Rufus and Chaka Khan albums, check that out. But Hamish is on at several of the Chaka Khan albums, so check that out. But I guess when they toured, he and Rene Geyer became friends, and they started this band and got A&M records and everything. Oh, we're going to go ahead.
Going to be the next thing.
Yeah. And then, and if you like, the album cover is very lame.
Yeah.
The production is horrific.
Really bad.
and it's pretty, pretty bad album, but he sounds pretty, I mean, he threw out all of these other projects, non Paul McCartney products. He sounds pretty good.
Yeah. He's real consistent. I think he's kind of like steady in what he does. He's they are, you know, he's always got this idea, this sense of soul and funk kind of feel. And yeah, but and you mentioned actually his first band or one of his second bands, something about how it was a mixture of Beatles and soul. And I thought, oh, well, that's perfect, because then all of a sudden here we are, 1988-89, and Paul McCartney is starting to pick up the pieces, as it were, of his own career, which had kind of fallen after Press to Play, and time to record a new album, and he wants a touring band. And so he puts together this group that has Robbie McIntosh and Chris Whitten, and then Hamish Stewart. And so that this is his new gig.
Yeah. And I think does fantastically and fits in really well in this era of McCartney. If you think about Flowers in the Dirt, we'll start with Flowers in the Dirt. A lot of My Brave Face and a lot of songs like that, where there's high vocals. It's still, Paul can still hit high notes in this era. And so having him also be on the tour, Tripping Live Fantastic, and be able to reach some of these notes that Paul is starting to struggle for. They still kind of blend together. They blend together really well, vocally.
And Paul said that too, back into, in the Club Sandwich, in an issue of Club Sandwich in 1993, he said, "Hamish is a really good soul singer. I think our voices blend amazingly well together when we sing harmonies." And then also this in the Moving On home video, he said, "Hamish Stewart is a really good soul singer. And because he's in the group and he's a writer, it was a natural thing to suggest, why don't we try to write together? We wrote a couple. I think our voices blend amazingly well together when we sing harmonies." And that's really true. That I'd say of any of his groups, those two just really locked in well. And you can, especially on the Unplugged album, you can really see that.
Yeah, well, we have rarely, if ever, unfortunately, talked about Tripping the Live Fantastic, Dave.
Or the highlights.
Or the Tripping Fantastic highlights.
Yeah.
Tripping the Live Fantastic is a kind of an odd live album. It does have a lot of these soundcheck oddities, like Inner City Madness, are nowhere else to be found. Together is the only place that tune shows up, I think. Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. What do you think? What do you think of Tripping Live Fantastic, and particularly Hamish on Tripping Live Fantastic?
Right. Well, that was another big deal. That was Paul's first live album in a very long time, and it was a double disc. And I remember it was, you know, CDs weren't all that old by that point; they were still pretty new. So that was on CD. I remember buying the two disc set, and it was a pretty good. I listened to it over the weekend, and there was some kind of a couple of rough takes that didn't sound so good, that now Paul's really straining even back then. But I think as a kind of representation of the tour, it was a pretty good album. And it was, some people have said, well, that's the first of way too many live albums of the same songs, and that's another problem. But
well, yeah, that's the, so we get Tripping Live Fantastic. Unplugged is very different material, right, and a very different, presented in a different way. So right. I think that is still valuable. You know, it's one of our favorites.
Yes.
We've talked about it in complete length before, but just to not gloss over Unplugged, of course, the Hamish highlight is he sings lead on Ain't No Sunshine.
Yeah, the Bill Withers song. And you can, as I was mentioning earlier, on YouTube, you can see they had to do two takes because there's the running joke in the show with this woman who's the producer or some kind of production person who said, Blackboard love. It's her. She comes up at the end and says, of the first take, and says, "Oh, you have to do it again." And Paul's like very sarcastic to her, like, "Oh, you want us to do it again? Okay, I guess we'll have to do it again then." But it's a cool spot because who's playing drums on that?
Yeah, Paul whips back on the drums. And he's playing brushes drums too.
Sounds so great too, by the way.
It's really, really, really great track. I love Unplugged so much. It's one of my top Paul albums, really, if you consider everything considered.
And Hamish on that one is singing lead and playing acoustic guitar. Also on the Unplugged album, he's playing a lot of acoustic bass too. He's got this kind of really big acoustic bass. But but that song, it works well. They're all playing different instruments from what they normally did, except for Linda. But they're all doing their thing, and it sounds great. So it fits Hamish's voice. I don't know if Paul would sing it as well, a song like that.
No, I don't think he would. And then, of course, just to jump ahead a little bit to Paul is Live.
Yeah.
That's the one. Why do we need Paul is Live?
Yes.
If we had Tripping Live Fantastic in 1990, Paul's Live is 1993. And the Off the Ground had been released that same year. So it's sort of like by the end of the year, they'd have a live album out. It just seems like so rushed and so unnecessary.
Yeah. Especially, aren't there might even be some duplicate songs too on there that are just not the Beatles ones. There's nothing really different. I guess you can have a Biker Like an Icon live song if you want, or some from Peace
Everybody,
in the Neighborhood.
Everybody, we're going to do Biker Like an Icon.
Woohoo. Yeah. But it doesn't really add a lot. So that one's, and I know that was recently remixed or remastered or re-released.
It was re-released when they did this.
The Amoeba one.
Odd sort of re-releasing of some various live albums, including the Amoeba gig, which is the one
good one. Yeah.
I spent money on because it's like, oh, this is new.
Yeah.
But Paul is Live, I think, is the lowest selling all time Paul
really?
Live album.
Wow.
And it just isn't. I think partially because it's just like you said, a duplicate.
Yeah.
Of a lot of Tripping Live Fantastic. So.
And that's why, or listening to Hamish and Paul, you know what song really sticks out to me is on Unplugged. I'm thinking of And I Love Her.
Oh, yeah.
So beautifully done, the two. I give her all my love. And you can hear like that.
That's my preferred And I Love Her, I think.
It's, oh, really?
It's just really great, really fantastic. And Hamish is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
All of Unplugged is vocals are just
spot on. Mm-hmm.
Now, Off the Ground, have we done an Off the Ground?
We did. We did a whole episode on Off the Ground. Yes.
No way.
Yes, we did. We reviewed it. Yeah. I think we gave it maybe like a out of 10, it was somewhere like a 6.5 or some maybe a 7, I think.
Did you listen to it this week?
I did. I put it on once again.
Too.
Yeah.
I admit to be singing very loud to Golden Earth Girl and to
Wine Dark Open Sea.
Oh yeah, Wine Dark Open Sea. I was doing a whole thing.
But I feel like on the studio albums that Hamish, his role is really kind of like his other studio albums. The band is really secondary. Like, they're clearly sidemen on that.
Yeah, I feel like it's a production issue in the late 80s, early 90s that just is like, let's get everything real glossy sounding.
Yeah.
There's nothing on Off the Ground particularly. I was particularly like, trying to listen to the guitars and things like that. Nothing like wrong with the guitars or anything. They sound good. It's just that it's like clouded up by all this other production nonsense that we probably don't need.
Right.
And in this era, probably wouldn't. I mean, McCartney 3, there's like not a lot of silliness production wise on that.
No.
So.
No, it's a product of its time, I think. But yeah. But it is cool. And this is another, it's interesting. We think of other topics when we're thinking about Hamish, but. I watched some of the tour footage from 89 or 90. And I love that Paul is starting out with Figure of Eight. Or there's like a bunch of new tunes in there.
Yeah, this one.
We Got Married. And
put
Rough Ride.
Put It There, I think, is in there. Rough Ride, yeah. There's like, it's half the album at least.
Yeah.
Is represented on the, at least the Tripping Live Fantastic album. And some oddities too, like we said, like Together in Inner City Madness and some weird
sound checky
type goofiness,
yeah,
which we'll get into here in just a minute. But I've said this many times. I wish that on his further tours he would do more, like, you know, with new. I think there were like three tracks that he played, maybe on a regular basis. And same thing with
Egypt Station too. He played a couple,
just a couple of them.
Yeah,
who cares? Being one of them,
right?
Which I didn't like,
so. Not even the best ones, even. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's some songs we'll never ever have a Paul live representation of.
No.
Sadly. But wanted to get into these songs, though. You read that little quote there from Paul, and he had also mentioned in that video, he had mentioned, I'm writing some songs with Hamish, you know, and then none of those songs make the album.
No. No.
So I feel like here's a guy who's been a songwriter for a long time, Hamish, and he's like, oh yeah, we'll co-write some stuff, and then doesn't really use any of them.
No, you've got Keep Coming Back to Love, which appears on the Come On People. I guess it's a EP sort of, or single.
It's that weird era of CD single where it's like, oh well, it's a CD single, so let's get four tracks on here.
Right.
And it's usually the main song, and then some rarity like this, and then like a remix version of the main song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, DJ Dub version of the same song.
So exactly. Like, and so that's basically what you got. You have Keep Coming Back to Love, and then that's on the Come On People disc, and then you have The First Stone, which is on this one. So you've got one from Flowers and Dirt, one from Off the Ground, with a Hamish McCartney song on it.
And then of course Party Party, which was
the
mentioned little tiny mini single that came in the same package that I got this poster from. So.
Though not a mini song, because it runs like 5 minutes of just the same thing over and over again.
Not a great tune.
No.
None of them are great.
No, they're probably where they belong. They're not bad, but they're not outstanding.
So this is the second big question I wanted to ask you. You know, after that tour, Paul worked on the anthology project for a while. And then his next album would be Flaming Pie in 97.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think that Paul did not continue, because he did continue to use Wix.
Yeah.
Why did he not continue to use Hamish Stewart after the anthology?
That's a good question. I don't know if Paul's ever spoken about how that band split up or what happened. Maybe it was Hamish wanted to go on and do other things. He wanted to, you know, he did do a few other groups. He has his own band he formed after that, and some other groups, but I don't know. And I'm not sure there was a specific reason. Maybe it was a good just breaking time, because Paul's like, okay, I'm gonna have to work on the anthology. This is a big project. I'm gonna be back with George and Ringo and a lot to do, and I can't think about making solo music for a while. And so they're like, all right, well, we're gonna move on.
Well, we'll find other things to do.
So after,
there's a little bit of a gap after that in the rest of the 90s where we don't really hear too much from Hamish.
No, he kind of drifted a little bit and then recorded his first solo album, which is called Sooner or Later in 1999.
Listen to that one, Dave?
I did not. I did not.
Well,
did you?
Well, I did.
You did?
Yeah, it's kind of this thing where soul music, jazz music, horn playing music drifts into sort of a weak sort of light jazz,
yeah,
easy listening,
ooh,
vocal stuff. That's this album Sooner or Later. The vocals sound good on it. And by the way, I have on good authority that it's coming out on Ultra HD just at the end of this week on April 23rd.
Well, get your copy.
Ultra HD if you can, if you have streaming services. So,
all right. Well, there you
right
go.
Now it's just in HD. You get a horrible, horrible non Ultra HD. So, but anyway, I gave it a listen and it was, you know,
just okay.
It was okay.
Yeah.
And then you probably, I know that you don't even know about this one, Dave.
Oh.
In 2003, Hamish Stewart, Let It Snow, Christmas album.
He had a Christmas album?
That's right.
No.
Only released in the UK from what I saw.
Oh, that's too bad, because he's got his own record label. Maybe it was on Sulfuric Records, perhaps. Let It Snow. Wow. So I'll have to check out, this Christmas, we'll have to check out Hamish's album.
Yeah.
So then the big, he had a bunch of other things, but probably the most interesting for our listeners here for the podcast is he got to work with another Beatle. And so he ended up playing on three different tours with Ringo and the All-Star Band.
Which tours were they? And I know that they listed some of the songs that he did.
Yes. So in 2006, he was the bass player. I don't think it doesn't say if he sang anything. I'd have to dig that up. But he joined Starr in 2008, where he performed Pick Up the Pieces and Work to Do. And then once again toured in recently. And this is, I watched a couple of clips on YouTube of him singing in 2019, where he does Pick Up the Pieces, Work to Do, and Cut the Cake. And I think Ringo doesn't play on those. I saw Ringo just, he kind of like bows to Hamish and then walks off stage.
Yeah, yeah, like, I got to get out.
I got to go. These aren't really my things here.
Ringo needs his nap mid-show. Yeah.
Right. So it was just Hamish and the other band members doing those Average White Band songs.
Yeah, that first band he was in is pretty phenomenal. That first All-Star Band. Just the whole crew there is like, oh my God, this would be the one to see.
Yeah. Know? The 2006 one, you mean?
Yeah. It's just like totally stacked with talent.
Yeah.
Whereas some tours you get are better than others. I want to say he might've been going to be in the one on the tour that was canceled from COVID. I think he was going to be a participant in that, but I don't quote me on that, but so I think he's still in the All-Star Band rotation is what I'm
well, here's a question at. Then how come he wasn't on Zoom In, Zoom Out?
Maybe he's got a bad Wi-Fi connection.
It could be. Yeah, I don't know, but
well, the last entry in the catalog, Dave, is the 360 band. It's a reunion of sorts. In July of 2015, Malcolm Molly Duncan, along with Steve Ferrone and Hamish, reunited to form the 360 band. This about a half of the original Average White Band. And then they have an album. It is available on streaming called 360. Short-lived, though, because Molly Duncan died in 2019 at age 74. From cancer, so that's a sad footnote to that. Molly Duncan was the sax player.
And oh, okay.
All the original Average White Band stuff. So, and I listened to that one, and it's a little peppier than that week.
And Sooner or Later.
Jazz. But it's sort of still kind of the same vibe as these. Like, if you listen to, like, a brand new album from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
From any of these, and I Average White Band sort of in that same
they mode, are the horns and the kind of funky jazz mix. Yeah.
So it's worth a listen, probably.
Well, it's interesting. I think he's very much in the Beatles story, a important player in some of that bringing McCartney back into the limelight and the spotlight. He was right there for that big tour in 89 and 90, and then on Flowers in the Dirt, which is the big critical success. So I think he definitely made some great contributions to the Beatles story in working with Paul for those years.
Do you think his career peak is working with Paul and then Unplugged, or is it Average White Band, like classic pick up the pieces?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Being on Soul Train.
That's a great question. Probably different. I'm guessing if we were to talk to him, he would probably look at them as the Average White Band was, he was a young guy at that point and, you know, in a band and, you know, making it big. Then he made it big and kind of took some time off. And then you become a little older and more of a, I don't want to say a statesman, but some sort of a, like a sideman, and you're willing to do, to work with other people.
Yeah. We think, oh, you've got to have Paul McCartney, or you have to have a career where you're the head guy and
forever,
big,
Bob Dylan, and
you're the big star, everybody bows your head. Whereas these guys like Hamish, who have sustained a career since what early '67 straight through to today, Average 360 band, I think was did it, you know, played a few gigs, and probably may still be together. It didn't say anything like they've broken up because of this passing of the sax player, but and he sounds good on that he's still getting that falsetto going.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, you don't always have to be the big star to have a great career.
No, I'm sure you can go to his website, hamishstewart.com, and keep up with what he's up to. But yeah, I'd say he's had a pretty successful career, getting to play with two Beatles, be in the Average White Band that made a ton of money and hits, and then some solo stuff. So I'd say he's done pretty well for himself.
Boy, I even listened to that whole Easy Pieces album. There's an article out there on the Easy Pieces record and why it wasn't very good. Because of the slamming gated reverb snares and crisply programmed FM synthesizer brass predominating.
Ooh, that's a really bad combination. Ooh.
I also just wanted to point out that it's great for our research always is this Paul McCartney project.com.
Yes.
Great website. So Paul McCartney Project, and they have a little article there on Hamish Stewart.
And they've got a list. That's where I got the list of the songs that he played on and songs that he wrote with Paul. Yeah. So very helpful. So go check it out. Go check out some Hamish and go back to pull out your Tripping the Live Fantastic Highlights CD.
That's right.
Blow the dust off it. And or Chris's little mini CD, Party.
That's right. One thing I failed to mention on Sooner or Later, his solo album, it's sort of like a long album. And there's a song sort of at the beginning that's called Sooner and a song in the middle called Or. And it's like towards the end called Later.
So that's clever.
That was funny. I think all three of those might be instrumentals, and the rest of it is, other stuff. So,
okay.
But it's highly produced and sort of like 2000s light jazz. So if that's your thing, then give it a listen.
Cool. All right. Well, this has been fun talking about another Beatle friend, Hamish Stewart. So feel free to send us any ideas of future Beatle friends you'd like us to dig into. You can write us at ivegotabeatlespodcast@hotmail.com. We also, I think everybody probably will know what our next album is going to be here with the delay.
Dave, I was waiting all Friday for my package to arrive. Yeah. Just never came.
Didn't come. Nope. Got to wait a week for the Plastic Ono box set to come out. It was pushed back to April 23rd. So that's okay. We'll listen to it. We need some time to process all the material, and then we'll get our review together.
We did get Three Imagined, McCartney Three Imagined this week, so we gave that a listen. I don't think there's going to be a full episode of that. Probably chat about it a little in our annual gifts episode towards the end of the year, if we remember by then.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I love I'm on the Spotify mailing list every week. They send you a like new releases from Spotify, and it was described as the long awaited three imagined.
What?
I said long awaited by whom? Really?
Yeah, in just a couple months after the
the real one came out.
Yeah, so what are they even talking about?
I don't know. Long awaited. So okay, well,
ridiculous.
Yeah. So we'll see. But more importantly, we're interested. I can't wait for the Lennon set. And
yeah, it's going to be a deep dive. You know, we like to give it a good full listen too. So I know other people like to rush out there.
Hot takes.
Well, some people are getting these free, Dave,
that's
and getting a month ahead of time. So
we had to pay for ours.
We don't need ours. We'll pay for ours like real people.
Exactly. Yes. So you can look forward to that. And on that note, we'll close off today and go check out some Hamish Stewart. And we'll be back at you soon with a new episode.